Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading is taken from 2 Thessalonians and it can be found on page 1840 of the Red Bibles. And we're starting just down at the bottom of the page, 1840. Stand firm, it's entitled. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Here ends the reading.
Please, please me. All you need is love. You may recognise the titles of those songs. Mark Sayers looks at them and looks at the time and the generation that came at that time and says, this was a generation where the world changed. With that message, all you need is love. And that message, please, please me, echoed from there. And we see those echoes now. The great variety for options for love and our ability to pursue them has only expanded, and yet alongside this, the pandemic of loneliness, the void of love, the destruction of the family unit has exploded. Never before in Australia has the individual had so much choice in how to answer that cry, please, please me. So many options. Never has it been so obvious that the options that we have that offer us love deliver so little. The reality of love that is offered up on the table for us to consume is that it is conditional love. Let me illustrate. You may regularly go out, if you're a couple you'll understand it, you may regularly go out with different people. If you're a single you probably actually also understand it. You regularly go out as couples, but say your spouse goes away or your spouse gets sick. You stop getting invites out to those couples events. They don't call. All of a sudden when your spouse returns, the invites flow in. It's a bizarre thing that happens. You may plan a party and no one replies until the last minute because they're weighing up all their different options to see if you can please them or they could actually be better pleased somewhere else. You may find yourself late at night on Facebook trawling the pages looking for love, looking for a comment or a like on what you've said. We're looking for love, but it's conditional. At home, your spouse may treat you well when you do what they want, and they may treat you badly when you don't do what they want. You may experience the same with your friends and other family members, that conditional love. Conditional love, ultimately, is performance-based. You perform this way, and I will love you. I always reflect on, and parents don't mean to do it, but they do it all the time with children. I reflect on bringing those essays with A's and hearing those words, oh, what happened to the plus? And it's not intended to have that effect. It's a joke, but it drives us to performance or washing the car. You missed a bit. You better go back and do it. And so there's this performance-based conditional love. Conditional love is manipulative, as in it tries to, it gives us love in order to get a result, and the love stops until something else is desired, and someone will then try and manipulate you again in order to get the love that they want. It's competitive. We fight off against each other for this love. It's demanded by some. They think they deserve love and sought to be earned, conditional love. What it does is it creates in us this striving, creates in us this need for striving for perfection. It creates in us this anxiety as we seek to live up to the conditions in order to receive love. You may experience anger as a result of not receiving conditional love. You may think in your heart, well, I deserve to be loved a certain way. I deserve to be treated a certain way. And when you don't receive that, when someone else demonstrates conditional love because you have not performed the way they wanted, but even though you think you deserve love, anger wells up inside. Conditional love creates disappointment as we don't receive it, rejection when we don't feel it, a sadness and a loneliness as we feel excluded from being loved. And ultimately, at the center of our hearts, we know that to be alive, we need to be loved and we were made to be loved. Many turn to self-medication, medicate it with lots of different things, with alcohol, with TV, with exercise. There's many ways we medicate our need for love. But in many ways we realize that this love, unless you keep feeling it, doesn't fill the hole that we have inside. The type of love, conditional love, leaves a void, emptiness. And yet it's the type of love that we're offered the most, conditional love. I'm confident this week most of us have been at the mercy of someone else's conditional love. I'm not sure what that's looked like for you. It may have been your boss at work. It may have been your parents at home. It may have been friends or family. Socially, hopefully, it even happens at church because we're not all perfect at loving. None of us are perfect at loving. But the love of God found in Jesus stands in stark contrast to the conditional love that the world offers us. The love of God in Jesus is a firm foundation. Now, the foundations, all our other loves, are going to let us down at one stage or another. When the world, our world is shaken, these loves move. The love of Jesus does not move. It, in fact, draws near. Hebrews 13:5 says this, "I will never forsake you." This is Jesus. "I will never abandon you. Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." We see in John 3:16 that classic verse, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." If the God who gave us his one and only son, who he loved with utmost affection, how will he not give us all things? Romans 8, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is a firm foundation, the love that God offers. It is different. And Niloufer gave testimony to that before. It is different to the loves we experience elsewhere. Built on this love, we can have a secure future. Many don't want to visit someone who's dying because, and the phrase that I've heard is because they want to remember the person how they were, or they don't want to think about death. Many feel a certain guilt in that they have to visit the person in order to get that last bit of love that one more time. As Christians, the only past we look to for love is Jesus' death and resurrection. We don't look to any other past things for love. We look to the present, where we know God's love, and the future, where God's love will be made perfect in our lives. As a Christian, there's nothing to prove if you already know perfect love. The only thing to do is to seek it more. In this passage, we see that they share in the glory of Christ. So the other thing we look forward to is that This glory is a present glory. We share in his glory and seeing his power and knowing his perfect love now. And the only condition on it is that we know and follow Jesus. The only condition on God's perfect love is that we know and follow Jesus. But this glory is also a future glory where love is going to be made complete, also described here in this passage as eternal encouragement and good hope. So eternally being encouraged by God's love. Let me read out what God's promise to us is of future glory from Revelation. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." That's our earth. "And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old orders of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne," that's Jesus, "said, 'I'm making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" All of our experience of conditional love is going to be dealt with in the future by Jesus, is in fact going to be healed, and our memory of it is no longer going to hold any pain. We will be free completely and in his perfect love. So it points to a time of the eradication of imperfect conditional love. The love of God in Jesus is a firm foundation, and built on this is a secure future. The Bible passage we're looking at this morning is about the Thessalonian church, and they knew God's love even in the face of severe persecution. Many have become Christians amongst a people that did not know or want to worship Christ, and so they were persecuted by family, colleagues, the government. And this love, God's love, is what they turned to in their time of persecution in order to receive joy, in order to stand firm. It's what gave them hope as they experienced suffering. It's what brought them through. But what made them worthy of the love of God in Jesus? How is it that the Thessalonian church, as we read in verse 13, is described as brothers and sisters loved by the Lord? Well, before a holy God, before the God that we worship, no one can stand. We all fall short of his expectations. Whether it's because we fail to love each other properly or whether it's because we fail to love him properly, we fall short. None of us is perfect, but to earn God's favour, you need to be perfect in your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your faith. But God chose an imperfect people, the Thessalonians, out of a nation of people who were imperfect, out of a nation of people who did not know his love, in order that they may be the first fruits of his love coming to more. He chose them as first fruits to be picked so that the same love that came to them might come to the whole nation, to others who didn't know the love of God. It's the same for us. If you're here this morning and you believe in Jesus, you are the first fruit, wherever you are, of God's love breaking in. That you know God's love means that it's a love that you need to share. If you know God's love in your heart, if you opened up your heart to God's love, you will know that you need to share in some way this love. We're no longer competing for conditional love. We're secure in his love. But how do we find the love of God in Jesus? In this passage, we see how the Thessalonian church came to faith. They responded to the call. We see that they responded to the call of the gospel. That is, they responded to the good news. And the call of the gospel is, follow me. Follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't expect us to have it all together before we start following him. Jesus doesn't even expect us to understand all there is to know about him or have all of our questions answered or necessarily agree with everything that is said. He invites us to respond. And the response he invites us to is either reject him and turn away from him, or pursue him, seek him, discover for yourself whether he really is the truth for yourself. So how else do we find this love? As we hear the truth proclaimed, what we experience is the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit sets us apart. You see, there's no way in which we, in our humanness, are actually able to hear the message of love. There's too many things that are in our lives that have got in the way of us receiving love, let alone God's love. There's too many things in life that stop us from hearing the truth, that stop us from understanding the truth, and really in our hearts knowing the truth. But the Spirit, as we hear the truth, works on our hearts to show us that maybe there is something here. Maybe there is something about this love that I need to look into more. And so the Spirit calls us. As we hear the gospel call, the Spirit calls. And the call of the Spirit can be in many, many different ways. And it can be, as Niloufer sort of described, in just seeing God at work in a community, seeing something different about people, the call of the Spirit. And if we go on and to actually become a Christian, I like these verses from Romans 10, 9-11. In here it says, believe the truth about Jesus and you'll be saved. These verses from Romans 10 say, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you will believe and are justified, made right with God, and it's with your mouth you profess faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Anyone who believes in him will never be left ashamed at the result of someone else's conditional love, because Jesus' perfect love is able to cover all shame. If you reject the truth about Jesus, you don't move forward. You actually remain where you are, in a place of rejecting God. You remain under God's judgment. You miss out on his unconditional love both now and in the future. But if you call on the name of Jesus, and it's as simple as that, you will be saved. It might be that on your deathbed, all your life, you've turned away from Jesus. And on your deathbed, you call on the name of Jesus. The grace, the magnificent of grace of God is that you will be saved as you make that call from your heart. Now, if you know God's love, it's not something you want to wait until then to receive. But that is the mercy of God. The love of God in Jesus is a firm foundation, and built on this is a secure future. He goes on to give instructions for believers. He said, if you know this truth and you follow this truth, so how can we live in it? In a world that only shows us conditional love in many ways, how can we live in it? We see an answer in verse 15. Two instructions. Stand firm and hold fast to the teaching we pass on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And many other loves are going to tempt us. Every day, every time we watch the TV, every time we were rejected, we're tempted to go somewhere else for love. We're tempted every day to fill the void of love in our hearts with something else, when the reality is the only thing that is going to fill that void is God. Even as a Christian, we can grow distant from God's love, and we need to come back to it. And as it says, stand firm, confident in Jesus, in who he is, what he's done, and what he will do, and hold fast to the teaching about Jesus, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And so they would have had a couple of letters, that's all. We have the whole Bible. We need to stand firm in this truth. We need to know this truth, be encouraged by it. And we submit to the same Spirit, the one who sanctified us, set us apart in the beginning, that he may continue to bear fruit of love in our hearts and use us, the first fruits of those who are saved. So what we do is, as Christians, we look to the harvest. Each of you as a Christian is a first fruit in the place where you are. So we look to the harvest. We look for more to come to faith. We look for many to be baptized. We look for many to know God's perfect love in the place of conditional love. We look for new lives, changed lives, transformed lives, not just on the outside through doing the right thing, but on the inside through having a changed heart. The love of God in Jesus is a firm foundation, and built on this is a secure future. Let us be a people that share his perfect love. Now, we can choose to not do that. What's the result? People are not going to hear about God's love. If you don't share God's love, then there's people out there in your workplaces that are not going to hear of God's love. And we don't share God's love out of guilt. We share it out of knowing it in our hearts and knowing it is something that is worth sharing. So how does God support us in living his perfect love out, of being the first fruits? We see in Paul's prayer to the end that he encourages our hearts and he strengthens us in every good deed and word. He calls us to good deeds. He calls us to spread good words. And in that, he brings his perfect love to our lives in a way that strengthens and renews us for his purpose. So before we serve him, he strengthens and encourages our hearts. As we serve him, he strengthens and encourages our hearts. This morning, over the last few months, I've been having issues with my stomach, and each time it happens, it started maybe about April. Nothing to do with the timing of Maren and Niloufar coming, but it started about in April. Maybe it was. Maybe God wanted me to share this testimony today. And each time it happened, I actually ended up in hospital with severe pain. They put me on Endone, and that was the only thing that was enough to actually deal with the pain as I lay flat for 12 hours. This morning, about 6 when I woke up, that same pain was there, and it's happened roughly each month over the months, and the doctor hasn't yet figured out what it is. And each month, that pain has happened. Each month, I've had to go on Endone, and I've had to just take time out for 12 hours. This morning, I preached at 8 a.m. I'm up here preaching now at 10 a.m. And it's interesting, when we serve God, he strengthens us and he encourages us. Currently, I'm not feeling that pain in my body. I would actually like to be on an Endone right now, but I'm not feeling any pain, so I don't feel the need. About 2 minutes before I hopped up here, I said to Dee, I was desperately feeling the need to not even be up here. God's love is a love that is able to sustain us and strengthen us and encourage us in all things. He is with us, and he wants us all to call on his name, to follow him as he leads us forward. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great and abundant perfect love. We thank you for the way your love is at work in our lives. Lord, I pray here this morning for people that don't know your love. I pray, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, Lord, open their ears and their hearts and their minds to know that love, Lord. I pray, Lord, for us that have known that love, may you ignite that love in our hearts again. May you ignite the desire to be first fruits, Lord, so that we may live for you and your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.